CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the U.S. is hoping for better relations with North Korea, with Kim Jong-il gone and his son, Kim Jong-un, taking over.
I'm Cammie McCormick at the State Department, where Secretary Clinton met with the Japanese foreign minister, and what she called the evolving developments in North Korea were at the top of the agenda.
We both share a common interest in a peaceful and stable transition in North Korea.
Clinton said the U.S. hopes for improved relations with the people of North Korea and remains deeply concerned about their well-being. The U.S. and Japan are consulting with Seoul, Moscow, and Beijing for their input on the way ahead.
That's Cammie McCormick. A Syrian diplomat says Damascus will sign the Arab League Peace Initiative to send monitors to Syria. It's expected to be signed by the Syrian deputy foreign minister. Al Jazeera English reporter Rula Amin.
What we have heard so far officially from the Syrian opposition is that they have little faith that this will work and will change the situation on the ground. They think the government of Syria is only playing and maneuvering to get more time.
Observers would have a mandate of only 1 month, extendable if both sides agree. Just one day after the last American left Iraq, the Shiite government issued an arrest warrant for the Sunni vice president. He's being charged with terrorism.
There are confessions on television, but no other evidence has yet been presented of Tariq al-Hashimi's involvement in these attacks. On the other side, Tariq al-Hashimi issued a statement today on his website in which he alleges he's being intentionally harassed.
Reporter Prashant Rao says it's a sign of rapid and sharp escalation of sectarian tension. Republicans and Democrats in the Senate agreed on a short extension of the cut in Social Security payroll taxes. Massachusetts Republican Senator Scott Brown says the House should do the same thing.
We compromised over in the Senate. And, I would encourage the House to do the same thing, because we're Americans first, and we need to work together.
The House passed a one-year extension, says the differences in the two bills should be worked out in the conference committee. Wall Street, the Dow's down 47 points, Nasdaq's lost 15, and oil at $93.84 a barrel. Southern plains are being hit by a major winter snowstorm with inches to a foot and a half of snow, drifted by blizzard winds. A Southern California teenager going to prison for a long time over the national headline killing of a gay student, he said, kept making passes at him.
Brandon McInerney, who was 14 years old at the time, shot and killed a 15-year-old gay classmate, Larry King. McInerney accused King of making sexual advances toward him. Prosecutors called it a hate crime. Under the plea agreement, McInerney, now 17, will serve 21 years in prison. McInerney did not address the court. His attorney said his client is deeply remorseful. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's a great landing when the pilot works out the engine emergency and lands safely on a city street, avoiding wires and cars and buildings and people. John Pritchard did it with his daughter in the single-engine Piper Cherokee in Longmont, Colorado. Engine trouble turned the airplane into a heavy glider. This is CBS News.
As if parents don't have enough to worry about these days, there's been a growing trend of kids having their identity stolen. Fortunately, Identity Guard KidSure now makes it easy to help protect your child's identity. KidSure uses patent-pending technology to search and monitor thousands of online data sources for information related to your child. If information is found that could be potentially harmful, you'll be alerted to it. Quick, even better, KidSure costs you less than $5 a month per child when added to your Identity Guard membership. Learn more about KidSure at identityguard.com.
Get rewarded for spreading holiday cheer. Now through December 24th, get a $35 gift card at any participating Toys R Us when you purchase the Nintendo 3DS system at a new low price of $169.99 MSRP. Top off your kids' wish list with some of the newest Nintendo 3DS games like Super Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7, and Pokemon Rumble Blast. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately. Use parental controls to restrict 3D mode for children 6 and under. Manufacturer's suggested retail price. Actual price may vary.
New environmental protection rules will force the closure of nearly three dozen coal-fired power plants around the country, and that is just for starters.
Dozens of fossil fuel-burning power plants will become dinosaurs under the new regulations. More than 32 mostly coal-fired plants will be forced to shut down, and another 36 may also run afoul of the new air pollution regulations. That's enough to power more than 22 million households in a dozen states. The AP survey says it's unlikely any homes will go dark, but jobs will go at those old mothballed plants, and power bills will likely rise to pay for new ones. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
If you work for the taxpayers, are you supposed to leave a nice tip if you're eating out on the public's dime? In Mississippi, the state's auditor says South Haven Mayor Greg Davis left very generous tips for lots of dining out. The auditor says Davis should repay $170,000 in personal expenses to the taxpayers. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Do you want to lose all your got some bad news for you. The stock market is a rigged game, and it's rigged against you. What Wall Street doesn't want you to know is that there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth. The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
The week before Christmas.
Hey, I got some Christmas music. I'm feeling Christmassy.
Yeah.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
My bows are laden, as it were. Hi, you're Bill. This is Talking Sheep, your friends at Network 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo. Let me remind you of an event that's going to take place at 1 o'clock today. About 1:05 is Karen Beeley's going to come in because we got a big story. We got some other big, we got big stories in the news we didn't get to Friday because Karen wasn't feeling so good. She says she sounds a little gravelly. She called me today. I said, you sound like Karen Beeley to me. Anyhow, so she'll be in about 1:05 and we'll be talking about things like that. We will not have sports today. We will not have sports the rest of the year because Josh is not doing it for the rest of the year. That's the way it is. But we will, you know, we'll talk about some of the things. We'll just briefly hit some of the highlights of sports, perhaps. Anything going on? Well, this is the big news, a big weekend news right here. The North Koreans, son of a gun, piece of, God dang it, Kim Jong-il is dead. Anyway, so his people want to give him an appropriate send-off. So the starving North Koreans are now scouring the Internet for the recipe for Soylent Green.
With Bill Benica, the Friends and Neighbors Network.
Smoke and Moe's Barbecue is the barbecue you're going to love every time you put it in your mouth. Filthy Phil's ribs, sweet Carolina pork ribs, barbecued rib combo, barbecued half chicken, barbecue sampler, and Moe's Chipotle lime tacos are just a few of the things that are just absolutely wonderful at Moe's Smokehouse Barbecue. Plus, of course, they have all the other great things, like they got burgers, they got cheeseburgers, they got Moe burgers, Carolina burgers, barbecue chicken breast and Carolina chicken, California chicken, and garden burgers, not to mention shredded pork, shredded chicken, shredded beef, tri-tip sandwiches. And they also have, of course, salads, too. They have a barbecue chopped chicken salad, Caesar salad, tri-tip salad, Calypso salad, Moe's Cobb salad, and green salad, so you can eat one of each of those. And then don't forget the homemade sides. They have Moe's homemade sides, homemade potato chips, killer garlic fries, sweet potato fries, seasoned fries, beer batter onion rings, fried green tomatoes, Grandpa Tom's barbecue beans, pantry coleslaw, potato salad, three corn muffins with honey butter, garlic bread, and they also have a children's menu, and they also have dessert, too. So you cannot go wrong when you go to Moe's. Go to Moe's on the corner of Osos and Monterey. Go to Moe's on Pomeroy and Pismo Beach, and you'll be asking for Moe. Moe barbecue, please.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed. Which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter Internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
He's got the restrictions that may apply right there. All right, let's get to it. Let me say this, too, if I may, because they're off, my wife's off with her mom. They're doing a hairdo or something, and Tasha. So I want to say to Tasha, Mary, and Nancy, the three Mouseketeers. I'm sorry, the three Mooseketeers. All right, let's see what's going on today. According to the Tribune, this is our highlight in history. Our highlight on history on December 19th in 1843, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens was first published in England. On this date in 1777, General George Washington led his army of about 11,000 men to Valley Forge, PA, to camp for the winter. In 1998, President Bill Clinton was impeached by the Republican-controlled House on charge of perjury, obstruction of justice, and doing nasty things. Birthdays born today, actress Cicely Tyson is 78, magician Chris Angel is 44, actress Alyssa Milano is 39, and actor Jake Gyllenhaal is 31 today. That's it for today, except for you if it's your birthday, so happy birthday to you if it's yours, and to them, also those other people.
Happy birthday to you.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
Wow, now San Luis Diagnostic Center has a new MR scanner to meet everyone's needs. If you're somewhat claustrophobic or simply uncomfortable being placed in a small tube, you can choose the brand new 3 Tesla Open MRI. This new gold standard in MR imaging was previously available only at research institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. Now it's available locally at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the most open ultra-high-field scanner in the world. And its state-of-the-art technology can diagnose disease far earlier, with radiologists specially trained in the interpretation of neurological and bone and joint diseases. San Luis Diagnostic Center offers an uncompromising combination of technology and physician expertise. The next time your doctor recommends that you have an MRI, insist on the best. The Ultra High Field Open MRI, only at San Luis Diagnostic Center.
All major insurance accepted. Right there, San Luis Diagnostic, got all the newest equipment in the whole wide world. And Dr. Fred Vernacki will take care of you right there. Now, we should mention something about sports right away. I mean, we would be remiss if we did not. And that is the fact that Cal Poly men's basketball team got its first win in basketball over Fresno State in 41 years. Seriously, that's seriously cool right there, would you say? Okay, I think so, too. All right. And then, guess what's going on? You know, we got Pittsburgh and San Francisco tonight at 5:30 p.m. And San Francisco already clinched the Western Division, but Pittsburgh wants to just see if they can, mess around. Cause lots of things went by the wayside. Tim Tebow lost. The Packers lost this weekend. And then the NBA preseason starts tonight at 7:30, and that's the Clippers at the Lakers. They're practicing up there. The season's coming. It's coming to it. That's basically the big news in the sports, I think it was. I had a lot of things to do on Saturday, so I watched Sunday. So I watched the, let's see, who was it playing? Tigers and the Rams,
which is akin to watching, you know, 7th, 8th grade football. And so that's always, it's always cute. The heck is Rose? The Rams have the worst record of any team in the entire world ever for losing games. I'm sure they're going to get better someday. Oh, day that is. But someday. Hope your weekend was good. Busy out there, shoppers, people, things and stuff. And this week's going to be crazy, too. So I would ask that you be polite and nice. Last night we were very nice. We were asked to go to the Mike Shoes Christmas party. And it was very, very pleasant and very nice. And what a nice bunch of people those are. So if you go to Mike Shoes, be nice to those people at Mike Shoes. They're nice to you. They do a good job, too. All right. Also saw Forever Plaid Tidings. It was that's over now. You can't see it. That's not this year. But anyway, Forever Plaid Tidings from the Sorcerer Productions down at the theater in Royal Grande. The interesting thing about it was that part of the theater I'd never seen before. So the Clark Center, you know, it's kind of like Cal Poly has the same thing, and so does PCPA. And so there's a little theater off to the side of the main theater. And it's a perfect venue for Plaid Tidings. You know, it's four guys, a piano player and a bass player, and they're kind of, you know, up close and personal. And so that worked out really well. So anyhow, the whole thing went great, and it was a good weekend. This week, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what's going on this week. I hope I've written some of it down. That's all I can say. So Karen's coming in today at 1:05. She wasn't going to come at 12:05. I'll change it. And then I have a lady coming in tomorrow, a Pilates person who's a friend of Amy's. And we're going to talk to her. I thought I hit something on Wednesday, but I don't see it written up there. Okay. Well, it could be a surprise. You know what I mean? We got a surprise guest this week, and we'll take it. But it's Christmas. It's Christmas, for gosh sake. And the gates have closed on the Iraq-Kuwaiti border. Our last of our guys crossed over. And is on his way.
Michael, this tactical road march that we have been talking about here, about making friends once again with tribal leaders, this all again happened under the cover of darkness. Just earlier in the month, there were 12,000 people at Camp Adder, and then it dwindled down to about 500. And is anybody there now except for Iraqi forces?
No, there are not. There are no Americans left on that base anymore. In fact, you say 12,000 a short time ago. There were 3,000 there a day or so ago. That's how quickly they've moved out these final elements of U.S. presence here in Iraq. All under cover of darkness. These guys were out and patrolling even in the last month or so. They were having IEDs, improvised explosive devices, roadside bombs, and indirect fire, which is basically mortars and things coming into the base. So they've been taking fire in the last few weeks, and so getting them out under cover of darkness, the secrecy that has surrounded this final exit has been vital to what the military calls OPSEC, or operational security. And as I said, we've been not allowed to mention this or talk about it until this moment. But yes, a historic moment coming out the way they went in, right across this very border.
Hey, Michael, on a personal note, I know that you have been to Iraq, and you and I have talked about it many times, and you know war is hell, as they say. What is this moment like for you? Surreal?
Yeah, you know, Don, I came across this border actually with the elements of the Marines in 2003. So, yeah, it's a bit of a full circle for me personally as well. I mean, I've been back and forth to Iraq every year since the war happened. We've had our share of close calls, seen a few things along the way. And, for a lot of the team here, and I was in Baghdad before I came down here to Kuwait, and that was a bit of a somber reunion as well, just on the personal level. A lot of regular folks were there, a lot of our people, and a lot of people from other networks as well, and had sort of a reunion feel to it in a way, and a bit of a farewell. So, it is a bit of a full circle feeling for me, certainly. I'm sort of a little bit delighted to be here at the border that we all crossed back in 2003.
We're gonna throw it to Holland just a bit, but is this the last convoy truck behind you? They're closing the gate.
Yep, the gate is closing. The gate is closing. So this is the last vehicle. Fittingly, perhaps, it is an MRAP, one of the signature vehicles of this war, brought in when the roadside bombs became so ubiquitous. Let's just listen as this truck drives past. Very impressive vehicles too, I can tell you. Spent a bit of time in those. The gates are now closed. The last U.S. soldier is out of Iraq, other than those who are going to be involved with embassy duties and the like. So history in the making.
There you are. Last one out, and they shut the gate. They shut the gate right there between Iraq and Kuwait. Now, so here's what we do know. We know that our war is over in Iraq, but now, as of today, we knew that the Sunni and the Shiites would, they'd have some problems. And so they've just arrested the vice president of Iraq, who's a Sunni. You think 9 years is enough to forget? No. So this is my prediction is our war is over with Iraq. Iraq's war with itself is about to begin. And I don't see how it's not going to happen. I would hope it wouldn't happen, but I don't see how it's not going to happen. It's one of those things.
That's the way it is. It's the way life is. The way it is.
People upset in the news about everything, you know. Kim Jong Il dies. You know, it's when you stop and think about these amazing people that run these countries, and how despicably terrible they are, and how they can be so tyrannical and have all this power. And of course, the power is granted to them through the military, you know. And so it's interesting to have watched the Arab Spring, and you say, okay, at what point do people in the military say, you know what? This is wrong. We should be on the side of the people, you know. And what causes that kind of fervent, you know, loyalty? It's alarming almost. It's strange. You know, you look at what's going on in North Korea. What we do know about that's going on in North Korea. You know, the people have nothing in North Korea. They have zip, and yet. You know, so the question now is, will they rise up? Will the people in North Korea rise up? But, you know, if the legacy that's left behind is what the legacy we assume it is that this would not be tolerated even slightly, and these people would be dispatched immediately by the military in North Korea. I've always just found it absolutely just amazing that these individual people can, you know, Ceausescu and Pol Pot, and you name them, you know, Duvalier, and you go on with the list, and Stalin, and all these people that, you know, are now in Syria. Of course, we still have that lunatic. It's just really amazing. It's really amazing. And the dangers of the military, once again, are present in what's going on in Egypt. You know, they thought, okay, well, the military take over temporarily, and everything will be okay, and then we'll get it organized. Well, as far as the military is concerned, they'd have it organized well enough. See, and the military has the guns. So, yeah. So my mind ventures off in daydreams about, you know, what would happen in this country? What would it take in this country for people to say, okay, you know, this we've had enough? What would it take to have the military say, you know, the people are right, you know? I don't mean occupy Wall Street. I'm not talking about these minor things. But it's crazy. All right. So let's now. Here's the next thing that's going on, and it's in the paper today. And so this is not going to go over any better than the nuclear storage plant at Yucca Mountain. Yucca Mountain, of course, you got Harry Reid, and he's like, I don't want Yucca Mountain there, and I'm important. So the Obama administration says, okay, we'll shut it down. And so here we spend billions of dollars. I can never, ever, 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 ever understand how we can spend billions of dollars on doing something and then say, eh, oh well. I don't know. Sam. So now what they're talking about is there's places all over the United States that have granite, you know, up in the peninsula there, Michigan, up in that area. They got lots of granite. They got some back east, whatnot.
Anyway, so they're thinking, well, maybe we could put it where the granite is, you know, as if the people are going to be any happier to having the waste storage in their granite as they are in underground in Nevada, you know, where we did nuclear testing and everything. I'm going to find some that I think is good news. No, I'm not. I was lying to you. I was like, I got to find the good news today. And yeah, okay, so that's not going to do anything. Here's a program's fight gang enrollment, preventing local violence apart. This is this whole thing about gangs and what they're trying to do to prevent gangs, violence, and all that. And if you remember when I had Sheriff Parkinson in here right after he took his position, and I said, you know, I don't believe we'll ever eradicate gang violence. I think maybe we can try to, you know, stem the tide somewhat. And he didn't disagree. I mean, it's just, and actually, gang violence in our last month has been as bad as it's been for a long time. You know, it's really, really reared its ugly head and caused the deaths of quite a few. So, it's just really interesting. Rich foreigners get visas for investing in the U.S. Affluent foreigners are rushing to take advantage of a federal immigration program that offers them the chance to obtain a green card in return for investing in construction projects in the United States. There you go. You can buy your way in. That's how you can buy your way in. Then what an amazing article they had over the weekend, and I'll just do this off the top of my head, about the people that buy their way out of jail. You know, these people that are being sent to jail now instead of prison. And so you can, you know, you can apply, but it takes money. You can apply, and you can try to get home detention. You can try to, you know, do all kinds of things. That, you know, take special classes so your sentence is reduced. Do all these things, but you have to be able to afford it. So now you have this bizarre system in our jail system now where people with money that end up in jail can sort of buy their way out of jail. And yet the people that are poor, they don't have the same opportunity. They're stuck. They're just going to be there. It's really kind of weird. You know, this whole economy thing and this whole money thing is a sordid mess. And it's hard not to imagine that our own greed and our own problems, our own inability to run our financial world, after 200 years, is going to perhaps screw us up, you know, trip us up. And now, of course, you have the Europeans, same thing. Now, we've reached a point in history where financially we have gotten ourselves completely bollocksed up. And the sad part is, as always, is to get it straightened out, it's going to happen on the backs of you and I, not on the people that, you know, can afford it the most. It'll be okay. Easy. Lowe's, you know, this ad thing, Lowe's pulled their ad off this Muslim program, and now it's become this issue. It's such a non-issue, but it's okay. But here's the thing. And here they thought they were doing it to be, it was a good thing to do. They thought that if they didn't run their ads on this Muslim program because they had this little church, the little church says, well, you know, the Muslims are all out to get you and everything. And so Lowe's said, okay, well, we'll pull our ads. Now, so to capitulate to a small group of people, you might say, well, how much sense does that make? But more than that, I think that Lowe's was wondering, you know, is this TV program appropriate in any sense of what we should be advertising? But really, I mean, what really comes down to the crux of the matter is you had a small church that said, you know, we think you're wrong to be on there. And at that point, to me, I mean, Lowe should say, you know, take a flying leap at a rolling donut, you know, like the Westboro Baptist Church and some of these other people. You know, we don't have to pay attention to you just because you're crazy. You know, you can just be crazy and make all the noise you want to on your own. We don't have to have anything to do with you. But unfortunately, that's not what happened. And they got to have, okay, so we got a fun story here. We got to have a fun story here. Police in Utah say a vehicle was burglarized outside an Ogden store while its owners were being accused of shoplifting from the business. Police said the two were released after being cited in the theft of a small ticket item worth about $25. The two walked in the parking lot and discovered the theft of a stereo amplifier, drum machine, and other items valued about $60 from the vehicle. Investigators say the two flagged down the officer who cited them as he was leaving the store to report the burglary on themselves.
Oh, come on. We just had this pipe fixed.
Well, if we had just...
I know. If we had just called Ben Franklin Plumbing like you suggested, we wouldn't need another repair.
I don't want to say I told you so, but it's no secret that Ben Franklin Plumbing is the only plumber to call. From remodels to new construction, Ben Franklin Plumbing does the job right the first time. Plus, their 7-day, 24-hour service means every emergency is taken care of quickly and correctly.
Fine. Let's call Ben Franklin Plumbing.
You'll like this part. Ben Franklin Plumbing is offering $50 off all new business. And when Ben Franklin Plumbing schedules an appointment, they're on time. Or they pay $5 a minute for every minute they're late.
Are you telling me that a plumber will pay me when they're not on time?
That's right. But don't spend that money so fast. Ben Franklin Plumbing is committed to on-time quality service.
So, what's Ben Franklin Plumbing's number?
Struggled throughout a lot of my childhood, and it was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie didn't know how to get the money she needed for college.
My mother worked in college administration, and she knew about federal student aid. When I received my acceptance letter, I ran into the house, waving the papers, like yelling, like, I got it.
Federal student aid made college and achieving her dreams possible for Charlie.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. And that didn't hit home to me until commencement day. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help paying for college? Go to federalstudentaid.ed.gov, an office of the U.S. Department of Education. Start here, go further.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
The mood is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here. That only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song.
The spirit.
it's up. We're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. We're simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The mood is right, the spirit's up. We're here tonight.
First time we are hearing from Brian Stowe, the Giants fan who was in a coma this summer after being attacked in the parking lot at Dodger Stadium. The video of Stowe speaking is positive and emotional. Stowe was beaten so badly on opening day he suffered brain trauma. Recovery has been slow, but now we hear him speak on NBC's Rock Center with Brian Williams.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Nancy.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
I've heard so much about you.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
That's good.
You're just as handsome as your sister said you are.
Isn't he handsome? Did you notice that Stowe was wearing a San Francisco Giants championship t-shirt? He wrote his name last month, and he has been in rehab since October. He's so strong.
Wow. Anyway, that of course, a very ugly note to the beginning of our Dodger season, opening day, and this terrible thing that happened down in L.A. Again, he's one of these people that suffered a brain problem, and it's a slow go. It's a slow go.
All right, you and Bill, this is Talk of Sheep, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYMS, your news station. We have phone numbers if you'd like to call in, 786-2578. That's 786-2578. And 1-866-937-1340. 1-866-937-1340. Well, let's see. You know what? They had a great story right here. And this was from Dan Krieger, Times Past, about the Montebello sinking was denied, then covered up. That's the way things work right here. The Montebello, so they didn't want people to really know that we had lost this ship, you know, right off the coast. And so what happened was as it sank amidst the burst of flames, the lifeboats headed for shore. The submarine opened fire on the lifeboats with its deck gun, but no one was hurt. This guy Ekstrom, who's on the ship, he had a detailed thing about this whole thing. He was wrecked as it landed on shore. The survivors were picked up by Standard Oil tugboat SS Estero Bay and the Alma from Morro Bay. And then guess who's in the news? Guess who's in the story? My next door neighbor for many years and a good friend who's passed away now. Merle Molinari had mentioned some people involved in the rescue, such as Cayucas resident Merle Molinari, a member of the crew of the rescued tugboat Estero Bay, didn't talk about it much, in part for security reasons during the war and in part afterward because of popular incredulity. I can say it, incredulity. Good, Bill. You got through high school and college and stuff. You should be able to say incredulity. They thought it was incredulous. I know that he told me the story. He didn't tell me the story in detail, but I know that he told me that they had sunk a tanker off the coast right there. And I thought it was completely plausible. I don't know why everybody else was so surprised by that. Yeah, okay. So they have that was quite a story. So then they just covered the darn thing up. They've checked it, as you know, to see if there's any oil left in it, which doesn't appear that there is. They had just gone to pick up a ton of oil, more than that, actually, to take to Canada. And so the idea was they had picked up more than 3 million gallons of Santa Maria crude oil at the Union Oil Wharf in Avila
ship was scheduled to sail out of Vancouver to British Columbia to supply the needs of the West Coast Alaska and Aleutian Island defense effort. Anyway, interesting story. The cover-up. Now here's an I had a really weird thought. I mean, you don't know these days. Here we had our drone, supposedly our top secret, incredible drone, that was somehow brought down, not shot down, brought down in Iran, and so it's pretty much intact, and they got all this stuff in there and all that. So now, just for the fun of it, and I'm not a conspiracy kind of guy. Now, I believe the World Trade Center, I believe that it was attacked by Osama bin Laden's people. But I know a lot of people think otherwise. But here's the thing. What if this drone actually, it doesn't have all the stuff that we actually have, but has some other stuff. And we let them have it so that they would think that, well, this is the technology they've achieved so far in their drone program, when actually we've achieved much more. Just, you know, it would make a movie. I've seen a lot of junkier movies than that. That was my thought. But speaking of junkier movies, this is what happened in my box office. Where is my box office thing today? What day is this? Oh, that's Sunday. Okay, I got it. I got it. Box office results here. And so this is who came out on top, was Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is facing his worst enemy, declining crowds at theaters as the year's domestic movie attendance dips to the lowest in 16 years. Robert Downey Jr.'s sequel, Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, debuted on top with $40 million weekend, off 36% from the first installment of $62.3 million opening 2 years ago. Things are down. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwreck, did $23.5 million. They were number two. Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, did number three at $13 million. I don't know if I can even see the movie. To watch Tom Hanks, who actually did this thing on that crazy Dubai tower and fling around out there and all that. And I don't know how some people can accomplish what they can accomplish. Bless their hearts. Amazing. Amazing to me. Here's what I was going to talk about. As we were headed into this, I got sidetracked by the Montebello. So let me see if I have, if this is the, where I, this is where it is. Let me get to this controversy here. Everybody has their own feelings about these things. I understand that. That's why we all have opinions about things. That's the whole point. All right, so here's Kent Nagano, who was director of the Montreal Symphony Orchestra and has been, you know, was a Morro Bay pirate and grew up here. And he's talking about the view of Cerrito Peak, also known as Eagle Rock, and should somebody build something up there. Now, as it turns out, the person that owns the piece of property at this point that wants to build on it is Riddell, who is a contractor kind of developer guy. And so there are those that might say, well, that's not good right there because of that. But here's the thing. Before we go to Nagano, let's do Betty Winholz from Morro Bay, who said, Mary Yates' description of what happened at the Cerrito Peak Eagle Rock appeal hearing has another side. First, Yates stated there was a no-win situation. There was a win situation. Let his friend, Dr. Dan Riddell, do the appropriate studies required by the city's local coastal plan. And so that's all they said. He said the main complaints of the appellants and community members were the absence of studies and other developers required to make in a timely manner an accurate environmental review and use of public land for private benefit without the required public benefit. Third, the mayor council deliberately chose to ignore the letter of concerns expressed by the coastal commission. Sorry. So what she's basically saying is that there was not enough environmental review process done before this application was submitted for approval by the city council. I don't know the answer to that. This gets more complicated. This gets in this issue about, you know, if it's private property and then you say you can't build on it, who basically owes for what the property cost? That's always been a problem for me. Let's get on the phone and say hello to somebody. Hello.
Hey, Billy Boy. How was your weekend?
Hi, Mike. It was good. It was very Christmassy.
Good, good. So was mine up in San Francisco.
Oh, you went and picked up your lad?
Yes, we did. I was just calling up for a couple of reasons. One, this thing right here, since when has it been that whenever you do something with your property, it's supposed to be for the general public's benefit?
I don't know.
Then the other thing, the main reason that I called you, there was an article in the Saturday San Francisco paper, which, by the way, brags about the fact that they are considered the number one paper in California newspaper. And with stories like this that I'm about to tell you, I have no idea how they were rated that. But they were bragging on the fact that California has now got their share of some education money, as they call it, $53 million. Did you hear about it?
No.
Okay.
So San Francisco has this, right?
Well, no, California, the whole
California,
state.
California, okay.
Okay, the government has this program by which they want individual states to rate preschools for quality and all this kind of stuff. And so basically they're giving us $53 million to set up a whole new bureaucracy. Like California doesn't have enough of that right now, to rate preschools for parents that have to work because they're paying too damn much in taxes to be able to stay home with their kids. So this thing, of course, goes on forever, but the government's only going to give them the $53 million to start it out, and then they're on their own. So in a state where we are beyond bankrupt by $1 billion, now we're going to start up a new state program for very little to no reason actually needed.
Well, and you, the biggest point you bring up, though, Mike, I think that's important here is and this is where, you know, when the governor said, well, what if we tax you an extra half a penny, a year, a half penny a sale on taxes, you know, and raise money for schools and all that, well, what do you think? Is that good? And so 60% of the people said, yes, it is. I said, it depends on what you do with it. So now we're back to this problem, exactly the thing that you're talking about. If you accept money, but nobody ever turns down money from the government. The government says, here's some money, do this is what we want you to do with it. Everybody goes, okay. And so you're right. This is another boondoggle thing where, you know, you can't support it. We don't have the money to support this after this money runs out. How are we going to pay for this thing?
And what good in the way of education is this program actually going to do for anybody?
For education, no, I don't know. And here's the thing.
Most preschools are privately funded.
I was going to say, who are they ranked by? Who's going to rank them?
Exactly. It's a subjective thing, and I'm sure the public preschools will be among the highest in the rating factor so that, we can get more money for the public preschool. The problem is we don't need that, especially right now, and we sure as heck won't be able to afford it after the $53 million is gone.
Well, especially now that they're talking about $500 billion in retirement problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous, and this is the kind of stuff, this is like, you know, I remember from the TV series Married with Children, when Al says to his family, I've told you all we're broke, but you've gone on very stoically and still spent money ridiculously anyway. And that's basically what this state is doing. I mean, we're spending money as if we're printing it and that nobody is going to figure out that it's our own phony money.
Yeah, and there was a very powerful letter to the editor also by somebody that basically said, you know, we seem to substitute the idea of saying, okay, we'll take more taxes instead of having the leadership to get the problem solved that we have now. And we do have problems. You know, we do have problems that need to be solved, but we don't seem to solve problems. We seem to just throw more money at them and see how they turn out. And it always turned, so far, it's turned out bad.
That's the whole idea, that the people are figuring, well, this didn't work out. Well, I know why. We need more money at it. No, it didn't. It didn't work out because it was a bad idea. It was a stupid idea. I mean, we're now, we have to add to our history programs a specific history program on gays and their wonderful things that they had done for the country or the state or the city or whatever. And care if a person is gay, straight, or riding the line down the middle. If they made a contribution, it should be in their period, not added to it because of the person's gender or orientation.
San Francisco's a little dicey with what they do with a lot of things.
Yeah, but that was one of the things that that Brown had quoted when he asked for that half a cent sales tax increase. He said,
I don't see purpose to that either. I have to be honest with you. I really don't see any purpose to it. I don't understand it. I don't have a clue.
We've got that in many schools are unable to work with computers because the computers are old, they're antiquated, they haven't been able to update anything along that line. Our books that we're getting are obsolete by the time because there's a 10-year process to actually get the books printed and the whole bit. And then the last time that we did that with the history books, we found out that a third of the stuff was wrong. The information, the facts were incorrect. And yet we still keep doing this stuff.
You know, and here's the other problem with the Chronicle, thinking that they're really hot stuff. Ever since Herb Cain left and passed away, it's not that great a paper.
Oh, it's not, no.
Herb Cain carried the paper, I'm sorry.
Hey, what was the guy's name? The San Francisco mayor before yeah, not the guy that's our lieutenant governor, the black mayor that was the mayor of
Willie Brown.
Willie Brown, yeah. He does an article now. Even he, in his articles, are saying the state is crazy. We're doing nuts stuff. I mean, and if he can see it, and the way he left San Francisco, anybody should be able to see it.
Unbelievable.
But we don't.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I don't know that we don't anymore, Mike. We're heading for the cliff, you know, and there's this inevitability that we're going to go over the edge, and yet nobody seems to be able to stop it. Nobody seems to have the wherewithal, the knowledge, the fortitude to say, okay, this is what has to happen or we're screwed. And that's what's happening in Europe right now. And everybody's headed for the cliff with a half-baked, you know, bailout idea, and it's going to affect us, it's going to affect everybody, as if we're not affected enough by things already, but we're going to get affected some more. And I don't understand why. I don't know. We elect the people. Maybe I should understand. We elect people that seem to be incompetent to do what has to be done in order to manage the budget of the nation, the state, the city, whatever it is.
We elect people that speak well, not those that solve problems. We elect handsome, pretty, whatever, or that are things that we want to hear at the time, but these folks either have never accomplished anything, will never accomplish anything, and when faced with a dire problem, they vote present. I mean, we're in big problem, big trouble, and I like it. Of going over the cliff, but what I feel like is that the public is standing at the edge of that cliff, looking down, and then shrugged their shoulder and took that one more step.
Yep. I agree with you, Mike. I agree with you. I don't feel like I have a position of control that I can do much about that.
Well, I don't think that many of us do. I mean, you write letters, you make phone calls, you do things along that line. And, you know, you get politicians, leaders. I mean, have to be politicians. They could be somebody in our general services ranks that'll lie directly to your face and make you think you're their best friend. And 2 minutes later, when you walk out the door, they're calling you the biggest dumb SOB that ever walked the earth.
I know it. I'm glad you got home from San Francisco safe and sound. I was probably zooish up there.
It was zooish, but boy, it was really, it reminded me of a New York Christmas or something. Union Square is just unbelievable. The Macy's, the Neiman Marcus, the different places are just gorgeous, really
decked out.
Beautiful. They know how to do it up for the holidays.
Cool. And we have our tree on Cerro San Luis.
One over at Santa Margarita Park, too.
There you go. You see that? All right.
Oh, they put the lights on it so perfectly, but it is beautiful.
Good. Nancy and I are planning on taking a tour about and see what the lights are doing anyway, so I think everybody should probably do that.
Yeah, well, give us a little holler on what's the best addresses to go to, huh?
Okay, man. Thanks for calling, Mike.
See you soon.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. All right, let's do this because it's really important, I think, to tell you about Spencer's Fresh Markets. It's at lunchtime, and you say to yourself, well, Bill, you can't go in a grocery store and get lunch. Yes, you can. Spencer's Fresh Markets has a deli that's absolutely fab, and you can get all this different salads, side salads, and or make a, let's say you want to get chicken salad and say, that's my lunch. They got chicken salads, they got potato salads, they got coleslaw, they got three bean salad, they got all these things, tabbouleh. They got just everything. And then they have great sandwiches. You want to have them make a sandwich for you? Maybe you want some chicken. Maybe you want some hot food. They have all that stuff. You know, they have meatloaf, and they got their ribs. They got all kinds of things for you. And you can just, and they have a place for you to sit. You can enjoy that. So if you're thinking about, well, I'm not sure what to do for lunch. Well, Spencer's Fresh Markets is certainly something to do for lunch. But then beyond that, how about your Christmas dinner? And your New Year's and everything, because they got the whole darn shebang. They got their $6.99 Spencer's hand rub bone-in standing rib roast. They can season it for you. You can do it yourself. They have a gusto honey glazed spiral sliced hams. They have Harris Ranch choice Baja fillets, which I began to start to think to myself. We were thinking about having meat on Christmas. Yeah, that's an idea, because my mother-in-law likes those things. Anyway, and Mary's Free Range Turkers, Napster Turkers, just $2.19. Boneless Pork Wine Roast is just $2.79. So they got the whole shebang. They got London Broil for $3.99. They got anything you need right there. Tail on cooked shrimp are $7.99, and that's the 41 to 50 count. And they have lobster tails, Maine lobster tails, for $5.99. You might want to get some of those little guys, have some surfy turfy. They have all the booze and the champagne and all that stuff you need and the brewskis and everything. And they got all the everything you need to go along with your meal to, as far as your produce and everything else. Spencer's Fresh Market, you can't beat them. Get one. And get your slow roasted coffee, too. So you can enjoy that on Christmas with perhaps a little aperitif in there of some kind. Hey. And San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, Rio Grande, and Santa Maria. Spencer's Fresh Market, your hometown. The freshness is local. Honest. All right, let me see what else I got here. Let's see if I got anything else. We can try this one and see what happens. Sorry, this is the North Korea again. We're going to find out more about North Korea with Kim Jong-il dying this weekend.
What do you know about Kim Jong-un, the heir apparent now? We understand that he's in his late 20s, but he isn't one that is known to have much political experience.
Well, that's true, and it is. I mean, he's very young. He's in his mid-late 20s, and we knew almost nothing about him until a few years ago when, of course, Kim Jong-il suffered a stroke in the summer of 2008. And since then, we've been getting to see a fair bit of Kim Jong-un. He's been appearing publicly with his father all across the country, you know, being groomed and being brought out to the public. Last year, I was in North Korea in September, and just days after I left was the main sort of public coronation, if you want, of Kim Jong-un when he was promoted to top leadership positions. So it's still we have very little personal information about him, fragments of having studied in Switzerland as a young boy and little pieces like that. But over the last few years, he's clearly been unveiled as the appointed successor, and so far we're seeing that plan being implemented in the immediate wake of Kim Jong-il's death.
In the time of transition right now, there are those who are saying that the real power brokers in Pyongyang will be the uncle, will be his uncle and aunt. They would be Kim Jong-il's sister and brother-in-law. That said, how much power do they actually have overall, and how much of an influence will they have in terms of what happens next for the country?
Well, we'll have to find out. We'll find out later on. Because they are saying that, you know, that little whippersnapper guy that's in his 20s and who loves Western-y stuff, you know, maybe not the guy that's going to really take things. Karen Vealey is supposed to come in and be with us right after the news. We'll talk to her then.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The House wants a conference committee to work out the differences between their bill and the version in the Senate to extend the reduction in what we pay into Social Security. The House would extend it for a year. The Senate, only 2 months. Colorado Republican Congressman Cory Gardner.
I grew up in a family tractor dealership, and if we fixed somebody's tractor and it lasted for 2 months, they'd want their money back.
In rejecting the Senate bill to extend the payroll tax cut and keep unemployment checks going out, House Republicans are trying to blame the Democrats, but their fight seems mostly to be with Republicans in the Senate, who negotiated the deal and voted for it overwhelmingly. Massachusetts Republican Senator Scott Brown says it's the wrong choice.
I was surprised, and once again, I think it's irresponsible. We need to work together. Especially the American people are demanding it.
Brown says letting payroll taxes rise in 10 days will hurt the middle class, and the House Republicans shouldn't do it. Bob Buzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
On Wall Street, the Dow's down 99 points, NASDAQ's off 32, oil at 93.80 a barrel. There's plenty for the worrying over North Korea following the death of Kim Jong-il. The big worry is whether the new guy will be any better.
I'm Dan Raviv. Not much is known about the new leader of North Korea. Kim Jong-un is the son and grandson of the last two dictators. He's believed to be around 28 years old. A senior U.S. official tells CBS News he seems to have a proclivity toward violence against South Korea and a volatile personality.
The military hearing into Army PFC Bradley Manning and WikiLeaks continues at Fort Meade. CBS's Jeff Goldman's there.
Bradley Manning, for the fourth day here at Fort Meade, has sat quietly with little reaction to any of the testimony. He's seated with his civilian and two military lawyers at his side. He takes notes occasionally, but mostly sits calmly.
The hearing is to determine whether Manning should be court-martialed for aiding the enemy and other charges. Republican presidential nominee candidate Rick Perry in Manchester, Iowa, drawing lines of distinction between himself and the front runners, Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney.
Wall Street bailout was the single greatest act of thievery in American history. And Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney were for it.
He says he was against it. Sections of the Southwest and Great Plains may be buried under heavy wind-driven snow. Transportation spokesman Steve Swartz in Topeka, Kansas.
Already in the extreme southwestern part of the state, we're starting to see some slush on the roads. We're seeing a little bit of snowpack. In some areas, we're seeing cars and trucks already off in the ditches.
A foot of snow and more across hundreds and hundreds of miles. Looks like a naked Lady Gaga sold after all. She posed nude for a charcoal sketch by singer Tony Bennett. It sold today on eBay.
We saw a flurry of bidding, and just as the auction closed, a gentleman let us know that he was willing to pay the reserve price.
$30,000, anonymous bidder. This is CBS News.
At some stores, holiday shopping is hard.
Hi, I'm looking for holiday gifts, and I need a poor selection of tech products.
You've come to the right place. Our selection is pathetic.
Oh, and the prices on your tablets and laptops are...
astronomical.
Perfect.
But at Staples, it's easy to find last-minute deals on great tech gifts like the thin and light Samsung Princeton laptop, pre-installed with Microsoft Home and Student for only $399. Easy shopping, easy saving. Staples, that was easy.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then. Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
There are still plenty of Christians in the world, but they're more spread out than used to be the case.
Christianity today represents almost one-third of the global population.
It's a very diverse population, both geographically and theologically.
Dr. Conrad Hackett is lead researcher.
We see very big geographic shift in where Christians live.
Much of that, says Hackett, has to do with sheer numbers.
Some parts of the world are just changing a lot more in terms of how many people live there.
100 years ago, two-thirds of the world's Christians lived in Europe. Today, that number has declined more than 40%, with one-third now in the Americas. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Police in Gainesville, Florida, say two very hungry teenagers broke into a Chinese restaurant and cooked some chicken gizzards. The boys are 14. They were arrested inside the restaurant eating. Police said they have no money, and this is their third time in the last few months they've been busted for stealing something. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
As if parents don't have enough to worry about these days, there's been a growing trend of kids having their identities stolen. Fortunately, Identity Guard KidSure now makes it easy to help protect your child's identity. KidSure uses patent-pending technology to search and monitor thousands of online data sources for information related to your child. If information is found that could be potentially harmful, you'll be alerted to it quickly. Even better, KidSure costs you less than $5 a month per child when added to your Identity Guard membership. Learn more about KidSure at identityguard.com.
Get rewarded for spreading holiday cheer. Now through December 24th, get a $35 gift card at any participating Toys R Us when you purchase the Nintendo 3DS system at a new low price of $169.99 MSRP. Top off your kids' wish list with some of the newest Nintendo 3DS games like Super Mario 3D Land, Mario Kart 7, and Pokemon Rumble Blast. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately. Use parental controls to restrict 3D mode for children 6 and under. Manufacturer's suggested retail price. Actual price may vary.
You a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
She walks amongst us, Karen Vealey from CalQuestNews.com, and Karen's in the studio right now. And Karen, welcome. And I know your voice is a little bit shaky because you had problems all weekend with that thing, but we'll get through it.
I'm doing much better.
No, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. Because I was always jealous of Bea Arthur's voice, and I wished I'd had it myself. But anyway, so you're developing.
Yeah, the sad thing is every interview I call and do with people that don't know me, they think I'm a guy.
Well, then fine. Put on a guy persona and kind of fool him.
I do have short hair.
Okay, you can do. All right. We didn't get to get together Friday because Karen didn't feel well, and so now we're here together on Monday, and we'll probably be again together this Friday. But Monday we have a big story that's out, so we wanted to make sure we get a chance to talk about it. And this is the San Luis Obispo toxic waste release and by an employee. And so far in 11 months it's been basically, I'll let you use your terms, I'll say not talked about. Go ahead.
Well, it hasn't been talked about. It also hasn't been reported. Now, the city's saying it was fine. It was no big deal. They have claims out that it was reported the day it happened and that the person with the fire department that is the mandated reporting person said it wasn't a big deal and didn't need to be reported. Now, let me explain a little bit. What had happened was Bud Nance, who is a utilities worker supervisor, had a couple workers go out and clean out the hazardous waste storage shed and just pour out the cans in the back of the storage yard. Now, this is about 200 feet from a tributary, 250 feet from the creek that supplies water to Avila, and in right abuts up to a wetlands. So we're talking a area that has a mandated reporting. Plus, a storage yard is considered a mandated reporter, the city is. But he determined that it was mostly latex paint, that it never reached the dirt, and that it occurred on the date that he got out there. However, you can tell by looking at photos from that date that it had evaporated greatly. You can look at the cans. It was not primarily latex paint. And there's photos of puddles of it on the dirt. Plus, all you have to do is click on photos to verify this spill happened about 2 weeks before that. But city employees, including the city attorney, are standing by their date, regardless of whether BlackBerry phone photos show otherwise.
And here's the interesting thing I would think also about this. Now, I would assume it's illegal for me if Bill Benicus said, you know what, I don't want this paint or I don't want this whatever. We'll just stick with paint for the time being.
Yeah.
I don't want this paint anymore, so I'm going to go dump it in my backyard. I'm just going to say, you know what, I don't use this corner of my backyard, so I'll just go ahead and dump it in there. I would assume that I'm not allowed to do that.
It's absolutely illegal. Now, there's some latex paints you can open up and dry out first. There's certain things that you can do, and that's the other thing. The city attorney, I've had some emails back and forth to the city attorney's office. They're also claiming it's just like if you dried paint out on a piece of wood. No, they poured it out on the ground. But here's the other thing. It wasn't paint. It was partially paint, enamel paint, creosote, which is a serious chemical, varnishes, acetones, stains, metal cleaners, rust cleaners. There were a lot of different chemicals. And if you look at these pictures after a week, after 2 weeks, photos, what hasn't evaporated, because acetones evaporate pretty quickly, what hasn't evaporated is still the bulk of its, you know, yellowish, clearish liquid. It's not paint. And there was also enamel paints. But regardless, you could, this was poured out and left for about 2 weeks. And here's the issue. If you pour out a chemical like that, and you're a mandated reporter, you have about 15 minutes to admit that you've done it to authorities, which the city's saying, telling the firemen 2 weeks later, even though they're claiming that was the date. And they may be doing that to avoid fines. It's $25,000 a day until it's reported correctly. And people in the yard say it was a chemical spill. Now, Cal Coast News, I was given about 30 inside city emails where workers absolutely claim this is toxic. They tell each other, you need to report this correctly. You need to get into training so it doesn't happen again. The guy says, I don't want training. And they said, you know, according to the EPA, are reporting with them, according to reporting with this guy, reporting with that agency, you are required now, after this kind of a spill, to get training. The guy writes back, don't want to, not going to. So not only do you have this happen, but here's the other inside take on this. They didn't do this in the past. They had Echo Solutions out of Atascadero that would get rid of their... They knew the proper way to do this. This isn't something they've done for ever and a day. And the gentleman that did this, Bud Nance, had just been called into the office and reamed for a supposed inappropriate relationship with a coworker. In addition, one of his closest friends, Ron Faria, was under fire for taking public goods. What Ron did was last year, last November, Cal Coast News, November 2010, we broke a story that he had taken a tractor and said he was going to sell it for scrap, took it down to the scrap yard. They got like $150 for the city. Then he bought it back from the scrap yard without even taking it off his truck for $200, took it home, put it in the paper for $3,000. And sold it. And there are allegations of a lot of taking home of public goods with many of these people, many of the people involved in the so-called cover-up of the toxic waste. After my story, he was investigated and written up. He didn't get in any trouble. They found out he did do this. They discovered, yes, he'd done something bad. And but he also, you know, there's been a policy of this for quite some time to turn your back. And management and the city attorney, allegedly, according to others, have come around and said, you know, we don't want things, you know, don't talk to the press, don't talk. Keep all this stuff, you know, just talk. Let the city attorney be the talking point. Everything is always denied or it's called an employee issue. But I do know that since he was given that write-up, he was given almost all the overtime and has already made almost $18,000 this year in overtime, according to his last payout.
Oh.
So it's, you know, there was actually a reward. Yes, you did something wrong. We're going to write you up, and you get all the overtime. This gentleman only makes about $60,000 a year. So on top of that, he's getting another third of his check every month. And other employees are told, we're not giving out overtime right now.
Now, if in fact, would it be the EPA who would levy a fine?
Well, lots of places.
Lots of places. Okay. So, but we're probably talking about one heck of a lot of money at this point, correct?
if it's found that they didn't properly report it, and if it's found that the fireman was colluding with city officials not to report it properly, and if it's found, just the reporting alone is $25,000 a day till it's reported.
And that's 11 months ago?
11 months. But even if they say, okay, we reported it, then it's a fireman's issue, and it's only 2 weeks, that's still $300,000. I've been told this could be in the multi-millions. But here's the thing. If the city's found to have a major fine, let's say, you know, multi-million dollars, they don't have that kind of money, then what usually happens is state and federal officials will say, okay, in lieu of paying your fine, we want a complete cleaning of house. We want new policies. We want new regulations. And we want to see that you're being overseen until you clean up your act.
Wow.
So that's usually what happens when it would actually take down a municipality to pay the fines.
Now, so is there a timeline on when some of these other events may start to unfold based on what's happened here?
I know. I've talked to some of the people that have shared things with me, and I think they're sharing them with other agencies. So even though the city is hard-pressed to say this didn't occur until February 2nd, I think the BlackBerry pictures, which were reportedly a week after the spill, are from the 27th. So you've got a two-week history no matter what, or at least a week history. And in those pictures, you could see a lot has already evaporated or hardened. So no matter, you know, and then after 2 weeks, they went out and poured tons of kitty litter all over the lot. That was their, then after the kitty litter worked, they scraped it up.
When they reported this, did they claim it was like an accidental spill?
No, it was purposeful. And no one says it wasn't purposeful. It was just their idea of how to get rid of it. And they're claiming it was mostly latex, so it's okay. But you can look at these cans. You can look at the pictures on Cal Coast News. This is not latex. And I have got high-resolution pictures. I probably got 30 pictures.
And there are pictures. If you go to calcoastnews.com, there are pictures up on the website now, and you can take a look at that. And you can see that this is obviously not all latex paint. And I remember that thing that they said that if you can dry out latex paint and then dispose of it, but this wasn't dried out. This was poured out. That's not the way you're supposed to dry it out.
And you can't pour it on the ground. They poured it on asphalt that they couldn't even get it out of all the cracks. You can pour it on like cardboard or something that you can scrape it off of and dry it up. But you know, pouring it on the ground is absolutely, according to the state website, not allowed.
Now, why is this? Why? I'm so curious as to why people do what they do. So here, one of the pictures you show here is you show all this, these multitude of cans and solvents and all kinds of stuff. And here's a picture, and you can see the big spill to the left of it. And then it says, this was a week after the discharge. Why was this stuff just sitting there?
That's why there were emails going around the city. What in the world is going on in the back of the city yard? And is anyone going to clean it up? You know, it was...
So in a way, this guy, Nance, is it?
Yes.
This guy, Nance, was sort of saying, screw you. You know, I'm mad because you're investigating me for something. I'm not happy about that. And so this is what I'm going to do.
Several employees say that's what it is. City staff says this was just the way that they were getting rid of it. It's okay to get rid of paint this way.
But this is, here's creosote, here's Olympic stain, here's tile sealer. I mean, you know, just in the few pictures you have, it's obviously not just latex paint.
And if you look at the big puddle, the puddle is not primarily latex paint.
The puddle doesn't even resemble latex paint,
no.
Quite frankly.
It looks like gasoline or something.
Yeah, it does.
But it's a mixture of chemicals. And if you look at the bottom one with the creosote, you notice they put that piece of wood to keep it from leaking too much into the dirt. But you still see a big line of leakage underneath that three-wheeler.
Oh, yeah, there's stuff underneath there for sure.
Yeah, and so it's obvious. And, you know, every time I talk to a city, I even talked to the gentleman with the county that is a mandated reporter to the state who said our guy, Boyle, fire department, Kerry Boyle, said, no, it didn't need, it wasn't big enough, it never reached the dirt. It was only latex paint, primarily latex paint, and it was, you know, never reached the dirt. It was cleaned up right away. Well, I told him, I said, I've got pictures, and I can prove that's not true. He wasn't interested. He didn't say, could you send them to me? Absolutely no interest. He sent me an email back going, we have determined that this is what happened. Well, how can they all keep saying we determined it when it's provably false? The attorney's office, the city attorney, sent me the same type of email. It happened on February 2nd. It was cleaned up right away. And it was latex paint. You can do this. So does that mean everybody else can pull all their chemicals in their yards now?
I guess we can now, which is it's very convenient for me, I can tell you that. It's an amazing story once again. Karen Vili, CalcoastNews.com. I have phone numbers if you want to talk to Karen, 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. 1-866-937-1340. We're going to let me take a break now because we want to come back and talk about some other stuff that was in Calcos News besides this story itself. And we'll be back right after this.
Hey, Chair, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
Well, at night I'm going to Shumash Casino Resort's fun and funky 70s and 80s dance party.
Me too. But what about during the day?
I don't know.
Well, I do. Bingo.
Oh, I love bingo. That sounds like fun.
It will be. It's Shumash Casino Resort's New Year's Eve Bingo Bash, starting at 1 p.m.
Ooh, I'll be there.
There's $35,000 in prizes, with 15 regular games paying $2,012 each, plus a fun sock jack pot for a dollar and an exciting top hat special paying a full year of free play for just $3.
Oh, and afterwards, we can stick around for the big dance.
Just don't try to kiss me at midnight.
Yeah, no worries there, pal.
Bingo players, join us on Saturday, December 31st for our New Year's Eve Bingo Bash with a $5 brunch and $35,000 in prizes. Warm-ups begin at noon with buy-ins starting at just $30.
Ring in the new year at the big New Year's Eve Bingo Bash.
Only at Shumash Casino Resort.
This holiday, tell someone how much you care by spending a whopping 97 cents on them. Walmart has all the latest smartphones from the nation's top carriers, like the LG Enlighten for Verizon, LG Optimus S for Sprint, and Impulse 4G for AT&T, all just 97 cents. Yes, I said 97 cents for a smartphone with all the bells and whistles. And no one has to know how little you spent. They'll think you went all out and will have no idea you found the money for their gift under the sofa cushions. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Offer with 2-year new agreement or qualified 2-year extension may be available on select plans. Data plan required. Brand and assortment availability varies by location.
Love your Pandora bracelet.
Oh, thanks. He went to Jared.
That's Jared.
Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora charms, rings, and bracelets from Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Jared has an outstanding Pandora collection.
It can only be Jared.
Visit Jared December 9th through the 16th and receive a limited edition porcelain holiday ornament for your tree with your Pandora purchase of $125. See store for details.
You're ready to do some honeydews. You've got a list, and what's with those knee pads?
I am ready to get her done.
Uh-oh.
We've got guests coming for the holidays, and Mom says we can't have any more plumbing problems like last year.
Yeah, I remember the kitchen faucet wouldn't stop dripping. The garbage disposal froze up at Thanksgiving, and the worst was when after dinner, your weirdo uncle wouldn't come out of the bathroom. What was that all about?
You know, don't even ask. It was ugly. And that's exactly why Mom's got me on the job.
Good thing you're starting early.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has pre-holiday sale pricing on no-drip top-quality kitchen faucets, super-efficient insinkerator garbage disposers, and powerful water-saving Toto toilets. To get sale pricing and an early jump on your holiday honeydews, go to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. With a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
Thank you.
We're back here in Villa Gobenica, and this is Talking Sheep, your friends and neighbors network, and we're also talking about CalCoastNews.com. Don't forget, on CalCoastNews.com, you can go anytime, 24/7, and find out what's going on. And then in the upper right-hand corner, there's a banner. The upper right-hand corner of the banner is Talk is Cheap. You can click on that. You can hear, look up podcasts that we've done, Karen and I, on Fridays. You can look up this one for today. You can listen to anything on KYNS while you're there. And so that's just some of what's going on. Karen, what should we hit some other stuff here? We might as well while you're here.
There's a few things. It's been kind of a slow, how would you say?
It's always
around the Christmas holidays. It's a bit slower. But there, I think there's a few interesting things. And we're going to have a, Dan Blackburn is working on a story now that I was thinking would be up around noon, but it should be a very interesting story on a local school district here that is having a lot of the work done for the school district on relatives of the superintendent. And a lot of the monies, extra monies, are going to family members.
There was
a spouse and a father.
There was another story that had to do with Coast Union High School in the news I came across. And I'm not sure what was going on with that, but it was another thing that was not a positive thing. It was kind of one of the sketchy things again. Anyhow, let's talk about some of the things we have in front of us because I think they're important. And this is anytime these days we have money. But before we do money, let's talk about these things that occur and reoccur on the Central Coast and for whatever reason. But this is this time was a power outage up in Cambria, and so Moonstone Beach was closed after 10,000 gallons of sewage spilled in the ocean. You know, I don't really know that much about biomechanical sewage plants, but it's kind of like apparently if it's not always moving. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like having a fountain that you have all this water up inside the mechanism, and if you have a power outage, all of a sudden it'll overflow the bottom because there's too much water.
But see, a power outage usually doesn't do that. There's usually it goes right into the backup system. For some reason, because this was not a power outage in the whole Cambria, it was something blew at the power plant, and it didn't trigger their backup system until 10,000 gallons were noticed to have leaked into a creek and then into the ocean. Which, we have a lot of problems in this area with aging sewer plants.
Well, and, you know, and we, of course, put some dough into the San Luis Obispo sewer plant, you know, to try to upgrade it, and then hopefully we're in better stead for a while, but we'll see. Now, the other thing, too, that's interesting is when you talk about capacity, you know, you talk about these capacities of plants, and you think about, you know, the kind of housing numbers they're talking about putting in. Look at Pismo Beach if they ever, and they will. Someday they'll wander down Price Canyon, I guarantee you, and start building houses. And San Luis Obispo wants, you know, they're going to have 750 houses thereabouts on the Margarita plan by the airport, and then you're going to have another 1,000 houses they want to stick out there by Orchid, you know. And then so that, once again, this whole infrastructure thing becomes a huge issue because, you know, you're going to have to somehow accommodate all that. And, you know, we don't, if you all of a sudden say, guess what, we have 1,700, you know, new households in San Luis Obispo, you know, how well is our sewer plant designed to handle that right now?
Well, you know, interesting enough, we do have in Price Canyon, they are building a reclaimed water facility. And a lot of people are saying, a lot of people do not want to do reclaimed water to drink. You know, I don't want toilet water cleaned. I don't care how clean it is. I can't do it. But your biggest water use is your toilets. They could have piping in new subdivisions using reclaimed water just for toilets. And that is a possibility.
And people probably, again, I know this reclaimed water thing. I have a little trouble saying I'll have a glass of that. But also, it could also be used for irrigation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's theoretically reclaimed water is cleaner than gray water.
Yeah.
And gray water can be used for irrigation if you have the system right, you know, San Luis Obispo approved system, which involves more money than most of us have besides God.
They say the reclaimed is cleaner than the drinking water in most of this county.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very clean, but people just can't get past it. But there's a major plant going in through, I can't think of the name of the oil fields out there by Price Canyon. And they're putting in their own reclaimed water, you know, what was it, $63 million plant? And they have talked to others about using it. So it could be used to, you know, for just the toilets or something.
We talked about this before, what's going on at California Men's College with this one particular nurse, but she apparently has company. 42 California nurses made $1 million each in the last 6 years. And collectively, the group has made $47.5 million, effectively tripling their regular compensation primarily through overtime. Of the 6,000 nurses working in the state's prisons and mental health system, 83% received overtime last year. Jean Keller, a nurse at the CMC in San Luis Obispo, was the highest-paid nurse in California, making $269,000, while the national average for annual pay for a registered nurse is $67,000, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, is she part of the union out there?
I would think she's part of the union. I'm not positive. But the other issue is, why are they having the overtime? Why don't they have enough staff not to have this kind of overtime? And why don't they have salaries that fit into the public sector maybe a little bit better because you're working out there, but somewhat in line?
Well, because we don't do it that way. When it comes to the public sector, we just say, you know, we'll find a comp anywhere in the world that somehow meets this. And then the thing that's interesting is this overtime. Here's this weird overtime business. And having talked to retired firemen and those kinds of people who say the problem is. And here's the rock in a hard place. The city will actually spend more money. As amazing as it sounds when you consider how much overtime is paid, but if they had to actually hire people to take that time up, if they had to hire people, what they would actually have to pay them in salary and compensation would be more than they're paying in overtime.
But now they're trying to get rid of some of the perks and have them pay more of their compensation, you know, their benefits. So this may cause a change.
Something certainly has to cause a change because we've just run out. Here was another interesting thing. We talk about water in, water out, and that was the desal plant up in Cambria, and so they've run into a problem with the Coastal Commission. And you know, it's interesting to me. Of course, the Coastal Commission is always interesting as a body of humanity. And that's it, the fact that, you know, Cambria has always been desperate for water. They talk about fire breaks down in Cambria and things because if you talk to the CDF, there's no place in the world that's populated in this county they worry more about than Cambria in case of a fire. They got roofs, you know, you got wood shingle roofs. You have many situations where the streets just go up a hill and they're just like a step going from one step to the next, and they just say it's just the worst possible scenario in the whole world. But beyond that, Cambria just hasn't had any water. Nobody's been able to develop anything in Cambria forever because there's no water. And I've always thought, you know, I personally have always thought desal was the way to go. Now, so here's what they did, and the Coastal Commission is finding a problem with this. They said, okay, instead of going directly into the ocean, what if we go through the sand at Santa Rosa Creek and see if there's enough, we can extract enough water from there, salt water, and then discharge it the same way. Well, in my opinion, that's a pretty brilliant idea. To tell you the truth, what other desal plants done that or even suggested it? I think, you know, you're using the natural sand for filtration. And that's one of the biggest complaints about all these plants is that, well, you put a big tube in the ocean, you're sucking in fish and guppies and sea otters and all that stuff. Well, fine, okay, we have a way to not do that. Let's try this. Well, now they're saying, well, no, the Santa Rosa Creek's no good a place to do that because why?
I'm not even sure why. It's so far.
There's no way. No, it doesn't matter. They don't have a good why about why that's no good.
They even tell them to go ahead if they want, and then they might get sued later.
Yeah, and so it doesn't really work. So then the commission agreed to announce that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers planned testing of soil and water at the creek mouth would be inconsistent with state coastal regulations. The proposed desal plant would be located inland, requiring the use of pipelines and pump facilities that were seawater and affluent to and from the plant. Officials of the commission said the Corps could be deferred to the decision or proceed as planned and risk a lawsuit. And so at this point, the Army Corps of Engineers is basically saying we're probably not going to go forward with this. But I'm absolutely baffled by this piping thing they're talking about.
Yeah, they're piping water. They're not piping toxic chemicals.
Well, no, and the other thing is that the piping... The piping's not dramatic whatsoever. The piping that has to go from the desal plant to a water basin. You know, that's, I don't care where you put the dang plant, you're going to have that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you put it a mile inland, you'd have to have that anyway. So I'm confused. Once again, it's one of those projects that, you know, somebody gets involved in, you know, it's like the Coastal Commission, they say this is no good, and you go, okay, why is that? I really have a hard time in this particular case understanding this one, because it seemed like a very, very well thought out idea, and nobody else had tried. And they were, and here's the other thing, they weren't saying this is a definite. They were saying, let us try it. You know, let's find out if this is a possibility. Well, so now we don't know if it's a possibility. And what a shame that is for whatever lies in our future. And water is going to be the most important thing in our future anyway. So why wouldn't we find out something? But no, we're not going to find anything.
You know, every area that does something new for water, if they do use that desal plant for some subdivisions of Pismo, every bit of that is water that isn't going to be used from other water sources.
I don't know. I just think that it's I think it makes a lot of sense. The another thing you had, and I'm not sure, you had the Selenian tribe has applied for federal recognition. I forget. Let me get this number, because you said how many pounds of paper, tons, whatever it was, acres of paper had to be brought in to do this thing. And Chris Mann, a spokesman for the Selenian tribe of San Luis Obispo and Monterey counties, told the Tribune the tribe is seeking to recapture its history and heritage through federal recognition. He said the opening casino is not the radar at this time, but something that could occur in the future. They had 920 pounds of documents to the federal government supporting the tribe's request. Now,
and the interesting thing is, if you read the Tribune article, it didn't mention this is the second application they made. It didn't mention that Chris Molina is part owner or is going to be a recipient of monies, not because he's an Indian, because he's a member of PJ Hoda, who the tribe has an agreement with if they build a casino. So he is, you know, he's a tribe spokesman, they said, and also a recipient expecting to make, I think, $60 million over, 10 years. I have a bunch of the documents regarding how much they think they're going to make. I have their plans for the reservation. I have the casino, the housing. I've been watching this for about 4 years now.
Well, yeah, forgive me, but it rings very hollow when they say we're seeking to recapture our history and heritage.
It doesn't have anything to do with history and heritage. There's two things that you can get that you couldn't get before. Primarily a casino and a healthcare facility. And I have talked to members of the tribe that primarily want a healthcare facility. And that would be a benefit to other people in Paso, because it's not just Indians that can go to an Indian tribe clinic. I used to live up in Tuolumne County, and I lived between an Indian reservation and a Mennonite camp. And the only, you know, and it was, you know, if it's snowing and you've got to go down the hill, you know, and there's snow everywhere, and there was only one clinic in town, and it was an Indian clinic. And I remember one time it was bad weather and my kid had a sore throat, and I was talking to a neighbor and they said, just take her over to the clinic, they'll see anybody. And it doesn't matter, you just go over there. And knew I lived in town, and it was ridiculously cheap. And she was like, oh, that'll be $20, like, for a doctor visit. But it's a benefit to the entire community.
There, I don't know what tribe it is, unless it's Chumash in Santa Barbara. The VA sent me to a Indian clinic in Santa Barbara. If you took Highway 154 and you forgot to turn, you know, when you got to the very end of it and just crashed in the building right in front of you,
yeah,
that's an Indian clinic. So they sent me to see this Indian guy, and everybody in there was an Indian except me, you know. And I thought, they just sent me the right place, you know. And the guy was very nice. The doctor was fine. He just said, oh, yeah, we work with the Veterans Administration. I go, okay, fine. So he did whatever he did to me and said, oh, see you. Have a nice day. But I was like, I was very, very shocked, to tell you the truth. I had no idea. So.
And it's good medical care, and it was quick.
Yeah.
And I can absolutely see the reason a lot of the tribe wants it. I could see the reason they want the money from a casino. And they are a tribe that has been around for a long time. The big problem is, and this was also not in the Tribune article, Cal Coast News, we had a very, we had a much longer article actually explaining the history of trying to get this casino through. Kelly Gearhart, who has been under a 4-year FBI investigation into organized crime, was behind the casino. And he was working with Molina and Phillips and Gregor Jones, his attorney. And, again, Cal Coast News was able to, through some fancy dumpster diving, was able to get a lot of the contracts and documents. And there's a, it's very, very interesting. There was a lot of really underhanded, nasty things going along with this. So the tribe's trying to get federal recognition. They applied for it, I can't remember, late 90s, early 2000. And so you have Molina go to the tribe and say, and they didn't call themselves P.J. Hood, and they called them like P-something. Anyway, so they go and they say, you know, we've got some ties. There's four ways to get federally recognized. You can get federally recognized the long, hard way by going through Bureau of Indian Affairs. You can get federally recognized instantly by getting a president to sign off. You can get federally recognized in about a year and a half to 2 years by getting Congress to sign off. There's a number of ways. So what these guys did is they had this big shot that was on Romney's campaign. He was working with Meg Whitman as partners, running part of Romney's campaign quite a while ago. And George Bush was in office, and they said, you know, we've got this guy is a close, I'm a close personal friend of George Bush. This is in the documents that I got from some of the tribe members. We can get presidential approval. This is the right time, but you need to stop talking to your attorney. Don't tell your attorney what you're going to do, and use these attorneys that are our friends out of L.A., and they're going to be your attorney. Well, you can't, the way they did this whole thing was kind of crooked, so the Indians got away, you know, broke it off and said, you know, you're doing illegal things with us. So then their attorney, Joe Deal, Deal and Rodewald, sued the tribe for what they these guys had spent. Well, the tribe didn't have the money. It was either we sue you and you come, you know, give us all this money, or you decide to work with us again. Interesting enough, this case was filed some way that it didn't show. At the clerk recorder, you can put Selenian in, you can put Gearhart, all the names, and nothing shows. Well, I called Joe Deal one day for an interview, and I said, you know, I found this lawsuit. He goes, how the hell did you find it? You know, and he absolutely knew, it appeared he absolutely knew, that somehow this had been filed in a way that didn't show correctly at the courthouse, which I found very interesting. It still doesn't show, but now a new case from 2000 shows, 2002, suddenly Selenium brings something up. It's just bizarre. I don't know how they're how things are coming in and out of the courthouse. Remember, Adam Hill's thing didn't show. But then they're back to working together, and there's just a whole lot of weird things. There was some money, monies people are claiming were taken. The bankruptcy court took Kelly's. They accused the other members of PJ Hood of fraud. Where I'm going with this is, it's very unlikely the feds are going to sign off on something that's been linked to organized crime. Even though the bankruptcy court thinks it might go through, time and time again, organized crime and Indian casinos are a reason not to get federally recognized.
All right, now here's an interesting thing. Let's do this last story today. Speaking of what's going on with Adam Hill, laying bare your innocent thoughts on Facebook can be risky. For example, comments penned on Facebook by Supervisor Adam Hill midway through his recent divorce created for him additional marriage complications, political problems, and some embarrassing press coverage. Now it turns out that Facebook may be harmful to your credit rating. Banks and other financial institutions are having data from individual profiles attached to Facebook, Twitter, and other social media, targeting prospective new customers and creating an innovative way of gathering credit information not normally available, such as race, marital status, and history of public assistance. Even once friends listed on the site, both real and friended, can prove troublesome as lenders gain access to more and more information about your circle of acquaintances. There's a bright side, however. Most experts agree that the technology for widespread exploitation of social media data is still a year or two away. This is not a bright side for me because, so here's, I'm one of these people that, I mean, I will be very honest with you. I go on, I really don't participate on Facebook. I don't really put input into it. But when somebody says, can I be your friend? I go, okay. You know, I mean, I don't say, well, I know, I have a reason for no. I just say, I don't, it doesn't matter to me because I'm not really doing anything with the Facebook anyway. So now I'm thinking to myself, whoa.
I think that more and more people are looking at this in the different aspects of what they're doing. They also, I think last week, allowed the courts are allowing people to sue Facebook for advertising on their behalf. So for and they don't pay you for it. So for example, they go Facebook goes to your circle of friends, and then says, Bill Bagnica recommends KVC. Seriously.
Yeah.
And they can do an advertisement using your name because you're a Facebook fan, you're a Facebook member without your permission and with your face. A couple of people have tried to sue Facebook, and I think it was Friday, the court said, yes, you can sue Facebook, you can try to sue Facebook. Now it's got to go to court. But there's a number of things, personal things that are coming out about this. You know, the thing is that Adam Hill's divorce would have probably stayed fairly quiet if he hadn't posted that he was now, instead of married, it was complicated. And then his wife got off. I just pulled the rest, kind of on a side note. I just received copies of the settlement. And interesting enough, she had, Adam's ex-wife had been left a house. Her husband had died on the job, I think, or had died. And I think he was a fireman. And then Adam had tried to get the home that she had had as part of the settlement. And he was not able to get her home. She did end up with her home.
They warn you about social media for different reasons, you know. But this is the thing that you just, you know, you say to yourself, well, I'm looking at myself. I'm not really doing anything with it. I'm not really doing anything, you know. But that doesn't matter. So what they're basically saying is, if I've said to somebody who I don't know from Adam, or Hill, who I don't know either, if they say, can I be your friend? I go, okay. And then they turn out to be a schmo. That can affect me.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're starting to look at who your circle of friends were and look at different things about you. And I find it very invasive.
I find it really weird because, once again, if you take anybody, be it Twitter or Facebook, you take anybody that's a public figure, you know, and they tend to have quite a few friends, for the exact same reason I do it. Mm. And so then all of a sudden, these aren't really your friends. These are people that have said, can I be part of your Facebook? So one thing has nothing to do with the other thing.
And I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, I remember Adam Hill when this whole thing was going on. He sent me an email and he goes, that wasn't for public consumption. You know, those are my closest friends. And I think he has like 2,000. I was like, you have 2,000 closest friends, and you don't think any of them are going to talk to the media and say, Adam Hill just said.
Wow. No, seriously, that's a very interesting thing.
And I'm on for the same reason you are. And I don't post. And I find it kind of tough. One of the things that I find weird is when people, instead of sending me an email, they post something as a private message to me on Facebook, which I go on maybe once every 3 months. And usually because I get these things through my email going, you have 5 private messages you should read. It's like, Karen, call me. Why not just email me?
Right.
Why put it through Facebook? It just
right.
Does Facebook have to have a portion of the one of my pet peeves?
In a world gone mad, the social media going crazy in front of us right there. It was very interesting. We were at a party, and it wasn't one of these raucous affairs. You know, it was just a pleasant little get-together of people for a company last night. And it was interesting, though, the younger people were sitting, it's like they're sitting right next to each other, but they're not talking to each other. They're all banging away on their cell phones. But I said to the person who I was, the gentleman that invited me to the party, I said, you know what's interesting, though? If we have to really be honest about something, if this was 30 years ago, and we'll go that far back, if this was 30 years ago and we had this exact same party, everybody sitting here that's doing what they're doing on their phone would be smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, no, the little kids wouldn't.
Well, not the little kids, but, you know, the little kids weren't on it, but I'm just talking about, you know, teenagers and younger people. That, you know, everybody'd be puffing away, adults and everything else. That's what we did, you know, everybody puffed away. So in one way, I think it's a little healthier what they're doing, I suppose. And I don't know why. It doesn't, this whole way that we're evolving with the social media thing in that way, I just accept. I just go, okay, that's what this generation's about, you know, tattoos and bones in their nose and all that kind of stuff, and that's what they are.
I was at Cafe Roma. There was this very nice-looking family, probably about 12 people eating. I think I was there with my computer guy. We're trying to work on something. And he looks over and he said, do you notice everybody over there, there's like four people only at that table that were not texting. The rest were kids and teenagers and stuff. Everyone but the adults was on their phone.
Unbelievable. We're going to have Karen Vealy back on Friday, and we'll get together at 12:05.
Sounds good.
All right, 12:05, and please join us then. And in the meantime, don't forget to go to calcoastnews.com and see what's happening.
Phenomena.
Bang, bang, bang. All right. We are wrapped for today. We're going to get together again tomorrow at noon. I hope you'll join me. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye, bye.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Plastic mistletoe, wrap me in a great big bow and tear me apart. It's Christmas time, so open up the floodgates. Tell me that you'll be late and wrap me apart. I feel so alone, and I just won't you come?